Listen to the Grass Grow. It's a piece by Catrin Finch, the Welsh harpist. And what's better than one harpist, two harpists? She was playing there with her music partner, Sekou Keita, who is a master of the kora, the Senegalese harp. Their album together is called Soar. And now it's 13 minutes past 10 o'clock here on Classical WMUK. Marie Lee is the editor of Encore magazine, and the April issue just came out a few days ago. Marie is on the line with me once again in our monthly get-together to talk about the stories of West Michigan that enhance and our understanding of our own community. Marie, great to have you back on Classical WMUK.
Hi, Kara. Thank you for having me.
In the April issue, you have a cover story about an individual who has impacted a lot of lives in our community, a lot of young lives, a lot of lives of people who often don't have access to poetry or they're from impoverished communities, and he has done so much and gone through so much in the last year. There's a lot of loss in his life. So why don't we start there with your cover story and why it came about of Gabriel Giron.
Well, Gabriel Giron and Kirk Latimer, when they formed Kinetic Effect, they were like instantly just super popular locally. And Kinetic Effect was a spoken word sort of motivational program or group. And they even went on America's Got Talent. And, you know, so they had this great following. And they took that a step further and started their own nonprofit so that they could do this kind of work for marginalized youth and other people who just didn't have a chance to communicate that way or didn't know to communicate that way because they found it very healing for themselves and they wanted to share that. And so they were just this dynamic duo. And I think in every way, shape, and form, they were practically brothers, except they had different mothers. And then when Kirk died suddenly last, I think it was September, that was just one more thing in a really bad year. I mean, 2020 was bad for a lot of people, probably everybody, but for Gabe, it was really bad. He lost a cousin to an overdose. He, because they were located at Lakeside Academy, and Lakeside Academy had its struggles and a death of a student, it closed. And so they lost their base and their home there. And then he lost Kirk. And that was just, you know, and what has sent a lot of us into an absolute tailspin, he actually came out stronger and fighting harder than he went into the year. So we felt like Gabe's story was incredibly inspiring and just something everybody needs to hear after all the stuff we've been through, you know, about being able to pick up the pieces and move forward, but not forgetting what you lost. And so, yeah.
One of the elements of the story that struck me as rare and unusual is that it's about a male friendship. That doesn't happen that often, that a focus of a story has a lot to do with two men growing up together and the bonds that they formed, speaking so much to each other's lives. That's not a feature you get very often in stories.
I know the whole brotherhood aspect of it, of the friendship that they had, the bond is incredible, especially when, you know, if you met the pair or even just saw the pair, they're polar opposites. You know, Gabe is this cherub looking guy. He's, you know, really, he comes across as the softer one, but in reality, it was Kirk. Kirk's this very chiseled man. He was super into being healthy and strong. And so you put those two together and it's like, whoa, what are they doing together? But they actually met each other at a poetry slam and connected there. And from, you know, the rest is just history. And so it's really awesome to share that kind of a story because I think you're right. I don't think male friendships ever get to be exposed quite that deeply because a lot of people don't want to be that vulnerable and talk about that. But Gabe does.
John Liberty is the one who wrote this cover story. Was it his suggestion, or were you looking for the right person to put with this story?
Oh, no, it was actually John's suggestion. And he, you know, that's one of those things we knew about, just all the stuff that Gabe had gone through last year. And, you know, you don't want to approach somebody and go, hey, let's tell your story. But John did. And I think John and Gabe have a really good connection between journalist and source. I mean, they had these very long phone calls, and Gabe was really, you know, very candid and open during them and very emotional. And it took John a while to write it. I mean, he had a lot of material, but he wanted to make sure it came out not maudlin or, you know, just he wanted what he wanted to do was really represent the friendship and just the power of that coupling, and then how Gabe is, you know, moving on without Kirk, you know, so because it's not an easy thing, I'm sure, for him to do.
There is a, dare I say, poetic circle that comes around in the story, which has to do with Gabriel Giron getting a high degree of expertise in filming and videography at Western Michigan University, I believe. And then along came Kinetic Effect, and he put it away. And now, just this year, he's using those skills again, and feels like there was almost this amazing episode in his life of poetry and Kinetic Effect, and now he's actually reminded of where he was in, I think, 2008, when he thought he was going to go off and become a video editor or videographer.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think that time in between has given him a new aspect for him to use the skills and the talents he had, you know, explored in college, which were his video editing and photography. And it was kind of fun doing our photo shoot with him because, you know, he knew what we were trying to achieve. And so he had some great insight because of his background. And then I think, though, that I think he really believes that the video, by using his video skills, he'll be able to propel Kinetic Effects going forward in a new direction, especially in the time of, you know, live performances are just not happening. It may be a while before they are happening, and they can still reach audiences this way by using his video skills. So I think he's really excited to get back to that and see how what came before meshes with what he has now.
It certainly looks like going forward there will be Gabe as well as Ed Genesis, who was becoming a major force in Kinetic Effect and Speak It Forward, which is the project that both of them are equally involved in now. And so there is still that bond of friendship that continues to give meaning to going forward here.
Yeah, I think that they had, you know, brought Ed into the organization before Kirk died last summer, and he said he was floored when they asked him to be, you know, a part of it. And he was a lead mentor at Lakeside as well. And Ed is, you know, for people that don't know Ed is very outspoken, and he's a great community advocate, and he's also very artistic and very poetic. And so he is a great addition to that organization's team. And I think now he and Gabe, you know, they're going to be moving forward in a new way. And I think Gabe's excited. You know, he's very sad about what they lost when they lost Kirk, but Ed brings a different energy and a different feel. So the future going forward looks a little bit different. You know, it's not always going to have this constant reminder of what was. It's more about what's evolving and what they are becoming.
I'm speaking with Marie Lee, the editor of Encore Magazine, and you can make your own decisions about this story when you read it. The magazine is free to pick up in a number of places in Southwest Michigan. You can also subscribe at EncoreKalamazoo.com. because these stories are so tied into our community, the history there, as soon as I saw the word Lakeside Academy, I'm like, well, there's a completely different story of an institution that ran into the worst kind of trouble and is now closed. And I didn't realize that that had been a main base for Kinetic Effect. I didn't know they were tied together. So it's one of those things that often happens when I open Encore. I realize, oh, this is involved with this in a way I didn't know.
Yeah, and then, you know, it makes total sense because Lakeside was for youth. It was a residential facility for youth that needed to have their lives turned around. And so Kinetic Effect, Speak It Forward, being based there, you know, having their home there was, you know, it was a great synergy. It was a really, really good thing. Unfortunately, you know, Lakeside, it had a tragedy, and that has affected its future indefinitely. And, you know, Lakeside has a great history in this town. And so it's, you know, that loss is even bigger than just losing a base for Speak It Forward and Kinetic Effect.
The media throughout the United States is taking a look right now at acts of violence against Asian Americans, and looking for trends and histories and stories. And one of these stories in this month's edition is about an Asian American family that has become part of the community in Kalamazoo and providing things that Kalamazoons can't get pretty much anywhere else. the grocery store Pacific Rim and their cafe called Cravings. It has a wonderful family background.
Oh, it does. It absolutely does. Jen and Anson, when they opened Pacific Rim, they had it, it was on White's Road. Is that right? Yeah, it would have been White's Road. Over in the Oakwood Plaza, and they really quickly outgrew their space. And so when Tatatine Village down the road, down by the Meyer on West Edge closed, they bought that facility and turned that into their market. And because they had all this great new space, they launched their deli, which they had always wanted to do. They wanted to bring traditional Asian foods, and not just, you know, Korean or Thai. They wanted to, like, bring them all. And so they have this lovely deli, and it has every day you can go in there and just it has a very eclectic menu, and it's all delicious. And it's really a great success story to see how they've built this market. Now they're becoming have an even bigger footprint. And they're talking about opening a restaurant somewhere else in the community. And so, you know, it's just a great story about, you know, Asian American families that work very, very hard and achieve success.
If you've ever been to Pacific Rim or Cravings and wondered about how they got started, this is a great article to learn a lot about that, and how revering their grandmother, who is an expert bun maker, has also given them that kind of inspiration they need. And I do get the sense that they are quite experimental at times. Let's try this week. Let's try this next week. And allow their staff to bring ideas forward in the kitchen as well. That's Cravings on, I know what road that is. It's off of Westridge.
It's on Kilgore.
Kilgore, that's right.
I know, I had to think about it too. I was like, oh, I know that road.
I'm speaking with Marie Lee, the editor of Encore Magazine. And that's another one of the stories in this month's edition of Encore, the April edition. I do know a lot of music therapists. These are folks who engage their clients by having them play instruments, having them sing, listen, and play in groups together. But you have an article on something completely, it sounds the same, but it's totally different.
Right, about the sound therapist. Right,
sound therapist, not therapist. Music therapist.
No, they use different vibrations and sounds to relieve stress and it's all about the frequency and how we hear frequencies. When we approached Julie Chase, who's the president of the Windwillow Consortium, about doing this story, she was actually a little hesitant. And it was because she said that a lot of people look at sound therapy like it's sort of woo-woo, you know, new agey thing. And there is actually a lot of science to back up how our bodies respond to sound and frequency. And we felt, you know, during the time of COVID, when so many of us are kind of, you know, clustered inside, or, you know, we're all feeling a lot of stress, it might be an interesting thing to think about how sound can help you feel calm. And so it's interesting because when Julie tried it, or not tried it, when Julie became a therapist, she knew American Sign Language, and when she got a Tibetan bowl as a graduation gift from her son. Oh, I'm sorry, not a graduation, retirement, a retirement gift from her son, and was so intrigued by it that she started learning about it and then became certified in training sound therapists. And she and five of her former students formed the consortium. And now they practice out of Portage, and she's really excited because I think they're reopening in May and for new patients. So, and there's an aside here too. Last year I had gotten a really bad case of vertigo and I could not get rid of it. And my physical therapist suggested I see a sound therapist and have them use a tuning fork. And wouldn't you know, it worked.
Wow.
Wow. It was crazy. Yeah, it was. I mean, I was like, we were kind of we were at the end of the therapy. We're like, we could do nothing else. And he's like, try this. And I did. And I didn't go locally because I didn't know anybody locally. I ended up going to Grand Rapids. But so I can say that, you know, I've had my own experience with it. And it intrigued me. It really intrigued me because I'm kind of a skeptic. And it was a pretty fascinating experience.
When I started as an undergrad at Western 30 years ago, it was the music therapists who were who knew that their practices worked, but were trying to build the evidence of the effectiveness. And that work has gone on for a couple of decades now, and finally established itself as a very legitimate therapy. And it sounds like that's what sound therapists are also working on. But you can also be a client. They're not waiting for
anything. Right. Oh no, they're definitely practicing, and yeah. I think that you know, Julie says, you know, the practice is certainly growing as more and more people are looking for non-medicinal alternatives to, you know, sorting out a lot of the stuff that they have. Like, I never would have thought of a therapy like that. You know, and so I'm pretty excited that one of the things that I liked that Jordan Bradley had put in the article is that science is still catching up to the understanding about how sound heals. And like you said, music therapists have known this for a really long time. And so the rest of us are just kind of catching up.
Mm-hmm.
And like the piece that you played right before we came on air, that was lovely.
Gorgeous.
And I was thinking about that in terms of how it makes you feel, you know, it just is beautiful.
I think harp is truly a magical instrument because of how many vibrations it rings out into a space.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing it on the radio isn't even close to as good as how it feels to be in the presence of a real harpist, which, yeah, maybe you should do a feature on a harpist.
Yeah. I need to find some harpists. You're right.
Marie Lee is my guest. She's the editor of Encore magazine, and you also wrote a spotlight feature on an individual named Kevin Ford. Would you tell us about him?
Okay, so Kevin Ford, he's on a board with somebody I know that serves on a board with KidNet said, you really got to talk to Kevin Ford. He is fascinating. And I don't think Kevin Ford sees himself as fascinating, but he's a guy that grew up on the east side of Kalamazoo. And initially, when he went to college, he looked around and thought, I want to help the people in my community. So I'm going to become like a physical therapist or do physical exercise and train people. And he realized that after taking a government class, that the way to really help people was to do it through government. And so I love how he made his own thing happen. He was at an event where the Jim Ritzma, the Kalamazoo City manager, was, and he asked if he could meet with him, and Jim said he could, and so they met, and he said, so, you know, what are you into, Kevin? And he said, I'm into poverty reduction. And it just so happened that the city had some grant funding they had gotten, and they needed to start a pilot program, and so they brought him on because he had the passion, and he has, you know, become the face of trying to reduce poverty in Kalamazoo.
What is the program that he represents?
It's called Shared Prosperity Kalamazoo. And it's a four-year-old initiative by the city to try to improve the conditions for the nearly one-third of the residents, our residents in Kalamazoo, who live in poverty.
I'm into poverty reduction. That's a great, great intro sentence. Might make a good T-shirt as well. I'm into poverty reduction. That's Kevin Ford, and you'll find his story in the new edition of Encore, the April issue, which just came out. Can you tell us any more, Marie, about how, if we're not able to find it around, how to get Encore on your screen or at your home?
Right. Okay. So Encore, most of our content shows up on our website, and that's at EncoreKalamazoo.com. You can also, at that website, subscribe. Even though it's a free magazine for public pickup, a lot of people choose to have it mailed to their home so they don't have to go out and try to find it. With COVID, you know, a lot of our distribution sites have been disrupted, so it's a little harder to find than it used to be. But we are in several local grocery stores, and there's a list of where you can find it on our website as well if you want it, your own fancy little print copy.
And, well, finally, the intrepid Lynn Houghton has brought together decades-old photographs with photographs of today in showing some of the really great old houses that Kalamazoo has to offer. Some of these photographs must be 100 years old or so.
Oh, I know.
Maybe
and some of them aren't even a photograph.
Yeah, like that looks like a drawing.
It is a drawing, right. I think of all these houses, I mean, I love old houses, but I think my favorite one probably is the Prouty House, because that one was physically moved. And when you see the picture of where it was out in the middle of, it was considered rural. It was actually not that rural now, but it's so funny that they took this whole house and moved it. And it's now, you know, it just tickles me to think that they moved that house and it's still intact and still doing well. But all of the houses, Kalamazoo has just got such an amazing, just wealth of these beautiful old structures and stories behind them. And Lynn always finds them. You know, I mean, whenever I ask her to give me five of anything, she's just like, really? Only
just
five?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there will be another issue, Lynn.
That's right.
there's
pace
always
out,
more.
Lynn. Got to pace it. So, yeah.
There's the Crane House, the Octagon House, which, you know, I've seen from the outside so many times. I have to get inside one of these days. That's under five faves, which is one of the features every month of Encore magazine. Well, any hints as to the May issue, perhaps, Marie?
Well, you know, May is interesting. It's about another organization. It's about another organization and family that a lot of people, I think, know the name, but they don't know the story behind, and that's Shupan and Sons. This company is, I mean, I don't think people know how big Shupan really is. And it started local and small, and it's not exactly, you know, the sexiest business. I mean, you know, it's kind of like Sanford and Sons, right? People think it's just a big junkyard, but they've become so much more than that. And so we wanted to share that with our readers, because we just love stories like, you know, people had this great idea and this is what it became. And Mark Shupan he's kind of a humble guy. And so he wasn't real thrilled for us to show that to the story, but he opened it up anyway. And I bless his little heart. John Liberty is writing that one for me too. Actually, it's probably going to be the John Liberty issue, because he has that story. Go Lake Distilling, which is a new distiller down in Augusta, which is in a former building that houses a former bowling alley up on the second floor. And that's pretty interesting.
Wow.
And then also he wrote, he's writing about the Wiffle Ball League in Kalamazoo.
That's for May.
That is May.
Well, if we round ourselves back, I will bring up the poetry connection again with Gabriel Giron, who is the cover story of this issue in April. And I'm going to play a piece of music called Free and Easy, which is how I imagine Gabe and Kirk felt when they were on their best game and the poetry and rhymes were flowing on that stage. This is a piece by a Western Michigan University professor of composition who passed away in a number of years ago, C. Curtis Smith. And Marie, we'll talk again next month.
Great. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Bye for now.